This is Philosophy MT Podcasts. In this episode, we'll be looking at the life of the Übermensch himself, Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche was born on October 15, 1844 in Röcken, Saxony, which was part of Prussia at the time, now in Germany. His father, Karl Ludwig Nietzsche, was a Lutheran pastor, and his mother, Franziska, was descended from a family of pastors. The family also included Nietzsche's younger sister, Elizabeth, and the brother who passed away early. Nietzsche's early childhood was shaped by a devout Lutheran environment. His father died in 1849 from a brain ailment, a significant impact on Nietzsche, who was barely 4 years old. Following his father's death, the family moved to Naumburg, where they lived with Nietzsche's maternal grandmother and his father's two unmarried sisters. Nietzsche received his primary education at boys' school and then at a private school, where he excelled academically, particularly in Christian theology. In 1854, 10 years old, he began attending the Domgymnasium in Naumburg, and in 1858 he earned a scholarship to study at Schulpforta, an internationally recognized boarding school. Despite the claim that his admission was based on academic competence, his grades were not at the top of his class. Schulpforta provided Nietzsche with a rigorous education in languages, including Greek, Latin, Hebrew, and French, and enabled him to read important primary sources. He made lifelong friends there and engaged in extracurricular activities, including music and literature. This period was crucial for developing Nietzsche's foundation in classical languages and literature, which significantly influenced his later philosophical work. Nietzsche enrolled at the University of Bonn in 1864 to study theology and classical philology. He transferred to the University of Leipzig in 1865, where his studies took a decisive turn. It was here that Nietzsche discovered the work of Arthur Schopenhauer, a German philosopher known for his pessimistic philosophy, which profoundly influenced Nietzsche's early thinking. Nietzsche also developed a keen interest in the music and ideas of Richard Wagner during this time. At the age of 24, Nietzsche became a professor of classical philology at the University of Basel in Switzerland. His appointment at such a young age was a notable achievement. Basel, a city with a rich cultural and intellectual history, provided Nietzsche with an environment conducive to his philosophical pursuits. Nietzsche formed important relationships during this period, notably with Richard Wagner. Wagner's ideas and music significantly influenced Nietzsche's early thought. He also became acquainted with Schopenhauer's philosophy. Nietzsche's first book, The Birth of Tragedy, was published in 1872. This work attempted to combine his philological background with his philosophical ideas, focusing on the origins of Greek tragedy. The book received a mixed reception. While Wagner praised it, the philological community, including Nietzsche's former mentor Ulrich von Wilamowitz Millendorf, criticized it for its speculative approach and lack of scholarly rigor. Nietzsche faced several health issues during this time, including severe migraines and deteriorating eyesight. These ailments significantly affected his professional life and personal well-being. His friendship with Wagner eventually deteriorated, partly due to Nietzsche's changing views on art and culture, and Wagner's increasing anti-Semitism, which Nietzsche opposed. Nietzsche's later works in this period, like Human, All Too Human from 1878, marked a departure from his earlier Wagnerian and Schopenhauerian influences. This work signaled a new philosophical style that was more critical and analytical. The break with Wagner and the shift in his philosophical thought were indicative of Nietzsche's growing intellectual independence and skepticism towards traditional values. Due to his ongoing health issues, Nietzsche resigned from his position at the University of Basel in 1879. This resignation marked the end of his formal academic career. After leaving his academic position, Nietzsche led a nomadic life, moving between various European cities, each offering different cultural and climatic conditions that he believed would benefit his health and philosophical work. Key locations included Nice in France, a Mediterranean seaside city, Silmaria in Switzerland, a picturesque Alpine village, and various Italian cities like Turin, Genoa, and Venice. Nietzsche met Lou Salomé in Rome in 1882. Salomé was a young Russian intellectual studying philosophy and theology. Their relationship, while not romantic, was significant for Nietzsche's intellectual life. This period also saw the end of his friendship with Wagner. Between 1881 and 87, Nietzsche would author several major works. His 1881 Daybreak marked a departure from his earlier style with a more critical and aphoristic approach to subjects like morality and culture. In The Gay Science, he further developed his critique of traditional values, introducing the concept of eternal recurrence and the declaration that God is dead, reflecting his views on the declining influence of Christianity in European culture. Thus Spoke Zarathustra, published in 85, is perhaps his most famous work. This book is a philosophical novel exploring themes like the death of God, the Übermensch or Overman, and the will to power. It is written in a unique style blending poetry and philosophy. Beyond Good and Evil from 1886 continued Nietzsche's critique of traditional morality, challenging the dichotomy of good and evil and advocating for a revaluation of values. In On the Genealogy of Morals from 1887, Nietzsche delved into the history of moral concepts, critiquing Christian morality and its origins. Throughout this period, Nietzsche's physical and mental health continued to deteriorate, impacting his ability to work and socialize. By the end of this period, he was approaching the brink of the mental breakdown that would occur in early 1889. He experienced a mental breakdown in Turin, Italy. One of the most cited incidents during this breakdown is when Nietzsche witnessed a horse being whipped in the Piazza Carlo Alberto, after which he ran to the horse, threw his arms around it, and then collapsed to the ground. Turin was one of the cities Nietzsche had chosen for his nomadic lifestyle, known for its rich cultural history and intellectual milieu. Following this collapse, Nietzsche spent time in psychiatric clinics in Basel and Vienna. These institutions were responsible for treating mental illnesses, but the understanding and treatment of such conditions were limited at the time. After his time in the clinics, Nietzsche was placed in the care of his mother, Franziska, and later his sister, Elizabeth. Elizabeth took control of Nietzsche's literary estate, including a vast amount of unpublished writings. She began shaping his image and the reception of his work, often in ways that contradicted his expressed viewpoints. Her editions of Nietzsche's work and management of his legacy led to a temporary association of his philosophy with German nationalism and anti-Semitism. In his final years, Nietzsche lived in a state of mental and physical decline, largely unaware of the growing impact of his philosophical works. He spent his final years at Villa Silberblick in Weimar under the care of his sister. Friedrich Nietzsche died on August 25th, 1900, and was buried in Röcken near Leipzig, where he was born. In the years following Nietzsche's death, his philosophical ideas gained significant attention and influence. Elizabeth became the curator and editor of his manuscripts. However, the initial interpretations were often skewed by the selective and ideologically driven editing of his sister. This editing led to Nietzsche's work being associated, albeit incorrectly, with fascism and Nazism during the early to mid-20th century. It wasn't until the mid-20th century that scholars began to critically reassess Nietzsche's work, stripping away the misinterpretations and bringing forth a more accurate understanding of his philosophy. Scholars like Walter Kaufmann and R.J. Hollingdale and Georges Bataille played significant roles in defending Nietzsche against the misinterpretations that had become widespread due to his sister's edits. They worked on providing more accurate and correct editions of his writings. Through their efforts, Nietzsche's philosophy was gradually disentangled from the ideological misappropriations and understood in a more nuanced and accurate light. Nietzsche's ideas have had a profound impact on a wide range of fields. His philosophical concepts, particularly those relating to the critique of morality, the concept of the Übermensch, or the Overman, and the idea of the will to power, have been influential in continental philosophy. Nietzsche critiques traditional morality, saying that the usual rules of good and bad are outdated and often serve to hold people back. We should question those rules and create new ones that help us grow and become stronger individuals. The Übermensch is like a superhuman who creates their own values and lives beyond the typical rules of society, kind of like a rebel who's also a wise leader. The will to power is like an inner force that drives everyone to strive for success, dominance, or achievement in their lives, pushing us to always want to be better and stronger in what we do. These Nietzschean ideas would influence schools like existentialism, postmodernism, and poststructuralism. His influence extends beyond philosophy and into art, literature, psychology, and popular culture, inspiring a number of artists, writers, and thinkers. Nietzsche is now widely regarded as one of the most important and revolutionary thinkers in Western philosophy. His work is known for challenging conventional thinking, questioning the foundations of morality and truth, and exploring the potential for individual self-overcoming and the creation of new values. His provocative style, aphoristic writing, and profound insights continue to be a subject of extensive study, interpretation, and debate among scholars, philosophers, and the general public. His contributions to modern thought remain a key part of philosophical discourse and cultural critique.